You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of Behind the Braves, presented by Jostens, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager, joined across my desk here in my office by my co-host, director of Braves alumni relations, Greg McMichael. Greg, I was curious, have you been out? I'm sure you've seen them out in the plaza, the big replica rings they've got. Well, there's one in the plaza, like in front of the Georgia Power Pavilion stage and all that. And then there's the 95 ring on the other side of the ballpark. As we've pointed out here before, you're one of the few people on earth that own both. But you've seen those out there. They're pretty cool, aren't they?
Yeah, we've seen. We actually found something that's bigger than the paperweight.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. So a lot of people, it's very cool. Like that out there in the plaza where the big bridge is with the Atlanta Braves written on it. I've said it to people around here. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask Insung if it was his idea or who it was that designed that Atlanta Braves big huge sign on that bridge out there. Whoever it is a genius idea, because A, it looks cool, and B, it is, talk about if you're a Braves fan or you're just here visiting, and a prime photo opportunity. Matter of fact, I think the first year of this ballpark, first or second year, we had, I don't know if there was, this came from Instagram or some study or something, but there was some statistic somewhere that the most Instagrammed, as in meaning most pictures taken, like geographically, in the state of Georgia that year were in that exact spot.
Really? Well, I have to say, I have one with my wife.
There you go. Yeah.
Right, we did an opening, we opened here. We went and took a picture. It was great. Still have it.
I've got multiple pictures when my family comes to town. Like we get one, and then when my parents and sisters came the first time a few years ago, then my Nana came with them the next time, so we had to get another picture in front of the bridge. That's just what you do. And now you can get your picture with the big World Series ring out in front of
the bridge.
So you can do that, and then you can head over to jostens.com/Braves and check out some of the cool fan merch. I think I mentioned this when you were out a couple weeks ago. My mom was, when my family came to visit a couple homestands ago, she was looking at the display case in the clubhouse store of all the Jostens merch there, and was very, very intrigued by the earrings, and so she may or may not get some earrings for me for Christmas. We'll find out now if she listens to this show or not. If she points out, oh, I know what I'm getting for Christmas. We'll find out. But yeah, jostens.com/Braves. Go check out all the World Series ring-inspired merch over there. Really, really cool stuff, and we can't thank them enough for partnering with us this season on Behind the Braves. Okay, as we're recording this today, it is Thursday, September 22nd, allegedly fall is here. It's not as bad today. I will tell you, the last couple of days, it felt like summer was hanging on pretty strong here in Georgia.
Indian summer.
Okay. All right. That's how that works. Okay.
That's what they call that.
Okay. All right.
I think it's supposed to be, tomorrow's going to be back to fall.
Okay.
Which is nice.
All right. See, I've heard it referred to as, I'd never heard the term false fall until I moved to Georgia in 2015.
False front in golf, right?
There you go. False front, same idea. But fall is getting here in the calendar. We're getting ever closer to October. And again, as we're sitting here recording this, Thursday, September 22nd, coming off the heels of a really good homestand, 5-1. It's funny, the one loss is the last one of the homestand, and it's so easy just to get caught up in day by day, and I should have won that one, and to be upset leaving after the last game of the homestand. But it's like, 5-1. Everything's okay here. And I think, honestly, the fact that a couple hours later, the Mets then also lost their game, I think that made that all a little more easy to take, that loss to the Nationals yesterday. So overall, still just outstanding baseball being played by the Braves. What do you take away from this homestand we just saw?
I think you're right on all the winning and losing. We're so into it at this point. I mean, you think back of last year where, and this happens whenever you get in the postseason, we didn't have to worry about, going down to the last weekend of whether we were ahead. We knew we were pretty much going to win the division. But this is almost like the playoffs right now, because we're, you know, every day means something. And yes, we should sweep the Nationals, but you know what? The Mets got beat 2 out of 3 by the Nationals just a week or two ago.
That's true.
And then anybody would have taken up to beat the Phillies 2 out of 3 would have been great, because you don't expect to sweep good teams, and the Phillies are a decent team. So we end up sweeping them, but we lost 2 out of 3 of the Nationals. It could have very easily been sweep the Nationals, win 2 out of 3. So either way, 5-1, I'll take that any day of the year. And this team is playing well. They're pitching well, timely hitting. It always hurts. I think the biggest part is it always hurts when you shoot yourself in the foot. So when you make a base running mistake, you make errors. Now we have got you blow saves. There's a number of different things. That's what I love about the game of baseball. There's no just automatics, right? You're still playing against professional players. Anything can happen. You can ball can get tipped, and you know, you can win the game. The ball can get tipped, or you make an error. You can lose the game, but it's still, you got to play them. And I think because everybody's talking about it and because everybody's upset, just tells you how everybody's bought into this team. Everybody expects that the way this team's held it together, the way they hold themselves, that you just expect them to win every game because we've got all the pieces. So that's a great sign. So I'm glad people get upset when we lose the game. They're expecting to win 6 in a row. So that's right. That's just a great sign, and that means everybody's into it. And of course, you know, how could we not believe that? Because we've been selling it. We sold out half of our games here at Truist Park.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Right? That's amazing. I mean, it makes me think back about those great Cleveland teams where Jacobs Field was sold out for like, you know, 3 seasons. I mean, right. That's the atmosphere you want. And we've got that here, and it's been phenomenal. So I'm excited about where we are. I hope it comes down to the very last day, the very last pitch. But because, you know, one thing about it is that if you win the division, you got 5 days off,
right,
potentially. That's not good to some degree, right? It's easy to get out of rhythm in 5 days. It's hard to stay into it. So, you know, it's good and bad, but you wouldn't want to clinch 2 weeks ago, and now you're kind of cruising. I've been there too. It's almost the intensity. The ball players are built for that. The intensity stays up for a longer period of time. Whenever there's a letdown on it, sometimes things can go a little crazy. So I'm not really hoping to clinch, you know, in the next day or so. I think obviously it's mathematically impossible, but I like to hold that intensity as long as possible.
I've often wondered if towards the end of the 14 straight run that the Braves had from 91 to 05, I've often wondered if that they were fell victim to that towards the end of that run when they couldn't get out of the first round. It seemed like a lot of times, not only was it a foregone conclusion they were going to win the division, they'd wrap it up without looking at it here. I don't remember off the top of my head the last few years of that run. I don't remember them anything coming down to the wire like this one appears to be. Seems like they would wrap it up mid-September, mid to late, you know, with still a couple weeks to spare, sure, essentially, until you play that first postseason game. And I've often wondered if they ever fell victim to that not having to. I mean, it's hard to tell.
I've seen it both ways. Yeah. I've seen it where you feel like, you know, maybe they got worn out because the race was so tight all the way to the end. And then, you know, you lose and you're thinking, well, I mean, I think that's just human nature. Every team's different. Different personality, different people pitching and hitting. Either way, it's a great sign that we're all paying attention, right?
I
think that's great.
I thought it was interesting the other night. So this week, both us, the Braves, and the Mets both clinched their postseason berth. It's obviously just, well, who's going to be the wild card and who's going to be the division winner. I thought it was interesting to watch how both teams treated clinching that. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm a Braves fan, and I want to see the Mets lose and fail and all that good stuff. Not in a horrible way. I just mean I want us to win, which by default I want them to lose.
They lose.
I wouldn't begrudge the Mets for this at all. I just thought it was an interesting case study. The Mets haven't been to the postseason since what, 2015, when they were in the World Series. It's been a few years, whatever year that was. It's been a little bit. And by and large, this group of guys that are on this team, most of them haven't, at least with the Mets, haven't been there. So they had a little champagne celebration and celebrated a little bit. And I thought, I get that. I'm not going to begrudge them for it. Whereas our guys, they clinched it, and everybody, we had a noon game the next day, and there wasn't any celebration. Everybody went home. As Snit said, he's like, I'd rather everybody get a little more sleep for the noon game and then, you know, hitting the road. And this was a case where I actually thought, don't get me wrong, I'd love to crap on the Mets whenever I get the chance, but for fun. But to me, I got it. Like, they haven't been there in a while. Like, I get it. But from our perspective with our team, I like that was our approach, too. Like, great, we want to be in there, but this is not even – it's step one of a whole bunch of steps is the way I look at it.
No, I agree. And some of that's team personality. I played on the teams where, you know what, our job was to – it was a done deal. We didn't think – we were never being in the playoffs. I mean, it was always – so when it happened, it was like, oh, yeah, well, this is exactly the way we drew it up. So it wasn't a surprise. I think the teams, like you said, haven't been there in a while. It's a surprise that they got there, and they want to celebrate it. For us, our expectation, the bar for us is a lot higher, and it was during the 90s, where it wasn't just winning the division. It wasn't just getting to the playoffs, you know. It was getting to the World Series and winning it. And I think it's a good sign in your organization when that is the expectation, because that means you're doing something right.
Let me ask you this. So you win the World Series in 1995. You come out in 96 with a really darn good team in 96 that shoulda, coulda, all that stuff, won the World Series, all that stuff. But you're coming off the heels of a World Series. When you win the division in 96, do you remember what that celebration was like, or how you guys treated that? I mean, I guess I'm
the night we clinched.
Yeah, like I'm wondering, like, let's say this, the 2022 Braves clinched their division. I think there should be some celebration, because
I don't remember celebrating until we found out we were going to the World Series.
Okay.
After we won the National League Championship. And remember, the reason why that was such a big deal in 96 is because we were down to the Cardinals 3-1. And we just did what the Yankees did to us in the next round, and we just turned around. I remember Javi Lopez hitting this ball dead center in St. Louis, and all of a sudden we came roaring back and won 4-3. That was a big celebration, because, you know, when you're down 3-1 and you know you're just you're just a few outs away from going home, when you expected expectations. So I remember celebrating then, but outside of that, I don't remember the division.
Yeah.
You know, once we clinched, and I'm sure there was something, but nothing like until we knew we were going back to the World Series. Remember, this team had gone to the World Series in 91, 92. You know, we celebrated a lot in 93 when we came back on the Giants and won 104 games, set a record. That was a good celebration. And then celebrated, obviously, in 95. And, I mean, I have my champagne bottle. I don't even think I have them open from the division series in 95 and 96. I didn't even pop them up, pop them open. So yeah, I don't remember that. Our team was pretty much business. You know, people thought that we didn't show enough emotion, but that was our personality. Bobby Cox wasn't like that, you know, just like Snit. I mean, we show up, and I'd say Bobby was more subdued than Snit. And we just came to the park, did our job, and we expected to win, and then we did that.
Okay. That's what I was curious about, just because with this team, I'm curious to see, like, how it all plays out. I think if they come back and win the division, I think the fact that they were so far down earlier in the year, 10.5 games.
I expect a celebration if they come back and win the division.
Yeah, I think. Now, I will say, if they end up settling for the wild card, I wouldn't expect a whole lot of celebrating over that. Not that they're not going to be proud and ready to go, I just
not even winning in the first round, you know. I think at that point, you know, they'll probably be excited about going back to the National League Championship and then probably going to the World Series. But I think there's a core group of guys there that have probably had the expectations all year that this is the team that's built to go back to the World Series.
Yeah, I like it. It's going to be a really, really fun last couple of weeks here. When you said you hope it comes down to the last out, the last pitch, so you're talking here at Truist Park for the last home game, or the 3 days later, the last game, our last game period in Miami?
No, I meant the last game here in Truist Park against the Mets on Sunday night.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that we've got 3 days to get our thoughts around who we're going to play in the first round of the
the DS.
After the 5 days, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So no, I'm hoping so. So that means we got some work to do, because to be able to celebrate on that day, then you pretty much have to sweep the Mets and be up. I think you probably have to be up a game and then sweep the Mets or something like that. So I think it's possible. It's just a matter of will it work out that way?
Right.
I don't want to be down in Miami worrying about what the Mets are doing.
Right.
What's the matter? They're probably playing. I don't know. They're probably playing the Nationals, or unless they're playing the Phillies. I haven't even looked.
But. Well, you know what? Now that you bring that up,
I
had not looked at that. Let's see. This is great radio. Me just looking on my phone. If only there was a quick way for me to look this up. Okay, Mets.
I got it right here.
You're going to beat me.
Mets schedule.
They are playing the Nationals at home.
Yep.
Those last 3 days. There you go.
Yeah. So, well, maybe they'll beat them 2 out of 3 like they did. But anyway, I think the theater would be great for us to make those 3 games mean the most.
Sunday night baseball.
I think it's Sunday night. Alumni Sunday. We'll have Ryan Klesko here, Scott Proctor, and get to watch a little Sunday night baseball.
Scott Proctor, has he been back before?
No, it's first time.
One of the most famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, plays, moments, games in Braves history involving Scott Proctor is that for those who have been watching the Braves for a little bit, I think this was, 2011 now? Somewhere that's at least 10 years ago, probably a year or two longer than that. The infamous, I think, 18 inning game against the Pirates that ended with Scott Proctor hitting and him having to hit, I think it was basically a swinging bunt and falling down, running to first. And then, oh my gosh, I can picture him, the guy who scored the run, who sadly passed away not all that long ago. Who was out by a mile, and I think Jerry Meals had had enough and said he was safe. But pre-replay.
I'm over this game.
Yeah. I watched that entire game, too. I think it was a weeknight.
I can see that.
Yeah, let's see. Doing a whole lot of looking up stuff here on
our brains aren't what they used to be.
It's late in the season for us too. We're hanging in there as best we can.
We've got a lot of ball players in our brains since 2011.
We have. Julio Lugo.
There we go.
Yeah, Julio Lugo. God, what a game that. And then those who are watching that game will also never forget the little girl who is a Pirates fan in the stands at Turner Field, and the mics on the TV broadcast were just picking her up clear as day. And I'm telling you, for all 18 innings of this thing, she was just yelling, screaming, "Let's go, Pirates!" And it was like she was right in the, I don't even know who had the broadcast then, if it was Peachtree or whoever it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah. All that. So anyways, that's cool. I hope somebody, or I don't know if any, y'all hand out the cards, right? The people autograph. Okay. All right. I was going to say, I wonder if at some point, he's bound to have signed somewhere along the way. Somebody had to have taken a screenshot or a picture of him having, laying down on the ground, having fallen on the first baseline. Somebody somewhere is bound to have gotten him, printed that out and got him to sign it. So I'm sure a lot of people.
Well, I'll be doing a Q&A, so I have to ask him.
Oh, okay. Please ask him about all that. That'd be great.
What do you remember about that Pirates game in 2011?
I'm sure. I not only ask him that.
Did you forget to put your spikes on, or were you wearing turfs?
not only ask him that, also ask him, how often do you get asked about that game? Right. I would love to know that.
Did you ever meet that girl that said, "Let's go Pirates for 18 innings"? Were you tired of her? Is that why you tripped and fell just to get out?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, anyways, these next couple weeks are going to be a whole lot of fun. How big of an advantage is winning the division and being one of the top 2 seeds that gets a bye? I mean, I know you said it's kind of you can go either way on that because you don't want to sit idle for too long, but I still feel like getting that first round bye, not having to do that wild card series and being able to set up your rotation.
Yes.
And just honestly, just a best of five. Instead of a best of three.
Well, yeah, best of fives are tough enough.
Right.
But the best of three, throw everything out the window. It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody can lose a best of three. I don't care. That does not. And people will say that about a best of five. That's why best of seven is the true test, because it really takes your whole team, your whole staff. The great thing about having that bye, in my mind, is that if you have these little, Spencer's talked about, he's missing a start because he's got a little bit of rib cage issue. And then you've got, Ronald with his knee, and you've got these different things that are going on in the club. That can give you time to set the rotation, like you said, but if you're playing all the way down to the wire and then you roll right into the wild card, you don't have time to set anything because you're going and going and going. Well, now you get a little breather. You can move some guys around, but then you also maybe some of those little bumps and bruises get a little bit of time to, relax, get a little bit more treatment, not as the continued pounding on it as if you were just playing all the way through. Of course, you know, remember the intensity goes up when you go into the playoffs. So now you've got 5 days left, you know, less of that stress and strain. So it can work to your advantage. It can also, it could be either way. It could go down, you know. I just don't know how the guys are going to respond. Some of that's personality. Some of that is how you're feeling. You know, if you're feeling good and you're in a groove. Now, for the guys who are in a slump, it might be good. But for the guys who, like Ronald right now, as hot as can be.
Right.
But for Matt Olson, he may want 5 days off, you know, to where he can kind of change his perspective. One thing we do know about the playoffs, it doesn't matter what you're doing coming in, things can flip in a heartbeat. It does. It's a new season, right?
Right.
It's a new experience. It's just different. And you're facing a lot better pitching because now you're only facing the best teams. It's hard to explain, but it's just, you know, that things have ended and now new things are starting.
Right.
And so the psyche on some guys can change, but what I've seen is it doesn't always translate. Just because you've been struggling up until that point, maybe you're 0 for 15, maybe you're 1 for 20, or, you know, 2 for, or you're 4 for 4, doesn't matter. Doesn't mean you're all of a sudden going in and staying hot. But I'm looking forward to seeing our team in the playoffs no matter what. So it really doesn't matter. We know we're going to be able to compete. And this team has been built to compete and compete at a high level. So I think they'll be prepared. I'm just kind of curious to see. That's a lot of days. I mean, a couple days are one thing, but 5 days, we'll see. Dodgers are going to experience the same thing.
That's true. But we'll see how it plays out. I still think it is an extended period of rest. But you give me a choice, I'm still taking.
Well, you know, nobody else has done this. I mean, this is the first year that we're doing it. So everybody's kind of in the same boat. I'm curious if it's going to really benefit those top two teams in each division. On the other side, you know, how the American League does versus how we do. We'll see. It'll be a good, you know, study based on what happens.
Yeah, it will. I will say this. We'll see how it all plays out. If they were going to expand the playoffs, which they have, I like this format. Don't get me wrong, having the one game wild card game every year, like, yes, that's forced. I mean, you're guaranteed, you know, two dramatic games at to start off the playoffs every year. So, and I am a marketing guy. That's part of my job. So I get that. But also as a baseball fan, I like that it's not this one game playoff anymore. I know best of three is kind of like you just said, anybody can win. But to me, it's at least allowing for a little bit more of like
one
a
game.
Yeah,
one game's pretty exciting. I mean, for
it
the
is.
Fans, but you know, half the fans are happy, half are not.
Right, right. So I think it'll be fun. I like the how they've set up this new format. So we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. All right. So you mentioned you've got Scott Proctor and who is the other name? Ryan Klesko. Okay, the recurring guest here on Behind the Braves, presented by Jostin. So that'll be cool. Anything else you've got coming up? The 44 Classic's coming up.
Yes,
right?
This weekend. Real excited about. My role has kind of changed a little bit here with the Braves. I'm not only just doing alumni relations, but I'm also in charge of growing the game initiative. And as part of those duties that I have, the 44 Classic, Hank Aaron Invitational, RBI Baseball, Softball, all the camps and clinics that we're doing, coaches clinics, a lot of fun stuff, our travel ball tournaments, the Braves Country Battles, all the things that relate to amateur baseball and softball. One of the things I'm proud of is that we were able to do the first ever Native American Showcase this summer that we plan to be an annual event where we take the top 50 Native American players and put them in front of college coaches and scouts. So one thing that we've been doing for 4 years is called the 44 Classic, and obviously in honor of Hank and his desire to see opportunities for African-American players to be seen by pro scouts. A lot of these guys were taking the top 44 guys in the Southeast, and they're coming here to play against each other. So there'll be 22 on each team. And most of these already have Division I offers. They're already committed to playing, but they'll be playing in front of pro scouts. So all the local scouts, all of our Brave scouts here, and there'll be some colleges, but most of these guys are already, you know, top level guys where they're already committed to schools. But we're doing this every year. It's in the fall. And, yeah, so they'll be dressed in the nines and Braves gear, and they're going to be playing on Sunday. But we have a workout, so we'll have a luncheon and a workout on Saturday. They'll do a pro style workout where we'll get all their metrics. And then during the game, we'll have TrackMan going where we will give all their stats and all the things that they're doing during the game, exit velocity and launch angle and, you know, their velo from pitching and all that good stuff. We'll let them compete in front of the scouts, and should be a good time. So if you're interested in coming, you know, go to braves.com/44classic, and you can get a ticket. It's free, but you can come check it out at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So love to have you come out and check out these young athletes. They're doing everything they do to get to the next level. We're trying to help them, and they'll be having a lot of fun. So come check it out.
Well, and folks, just to, if you didn't know this, if you want proof of what kind of athletes that are going to be on hand at the 44 Classic, guess who was discovered or who was really got on the Braves radar on the 44 Classic? Our center fielder, one of the cornerstones now of this franchise, mm-hmm. Michael Harris II, he played in the 44 Classic. I don't know what, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what does.
That's right.
To me, he is the poster child for all of the efforts that particularly our organization and Major League Baseball have been, the work they've been trying to do or have been doing these last few years of truly trying. We talk about growing the game. It's the work you're doing every day mm-hmm. with Doug and JB on your staff. It's the work we're doing as an organization. The work MLB's trying to do is really are trying to grow the game. And the 44 Classic is a great extension of that. So to Greg's point, free tickets, come out and watch some really, really talented young ball mm-hmm. players play. You very well may see a future star out there.
That's so. Right. Well, it's no secret. There's been a decline in a lot of our great athletes. There's been decline in participation in the African-American community in baseball over time because of a number of different reasons. So we've been trying to change that trend. Major League Baseball has done a great job of it. The Braves have jumped on board. We feel like that we're on the forefront of that. So between all the things that we're doing as an organization and then being able to see the results of that with like Michael Harris and Vaughn Grissom and some of these guys that are playing on our team, we're excited to see the kind of the fruits of our labor, right? So it's one thing to work on that and say, okay, we got to reverse the trend because we're losing so many great athletes, but then to see it actually happen and to see somebody come up from our organization, from the events that we've put on, and then all of a sudden they're impacting our major league team and they may be rookie of the year. That is huge. And it really excites us to keep pushing to say, okay, we can do more. And, you know, it's across the board. There's many communities around the Southeast and the United States where there's plenty of athletes. I want them all playing baseball, right? I'm kind of selfish. I love baseball. I know what the sport can bring you, what it can do in your life, what it can teach you. So I want all these athletes exposed to the game of baseball. Baseball's gotten pretty expensive. I don't necessarily agree with the trend of how baseball has become and this whole travel ball market and, you know, pay to play. And I mean, I grew up in the Little League area, you know, where we all played in our community. We all played Little League. We're far from that now. Now it's all about the expense of baseball and being seen in the world of perfect game and all this kind of stuff. So I think we're trying to do our part to draw those athletes back in. And this is one way that we can do it. Pretty excited about it.
Well, it's tremendous work. You should be commended for it, and your staff and the organization, just all the work that has been, a lot of people have been involved in over these last few years. And it's outstanding. And as you said, to have somebody like Michael Harris bearing the fruit of it, like it's pretty outstanding. Mm. So, well, this has been fun as always. And man, living and dying with every pitch. I mean, this is what it's all about this time of year. Like just scoreboard watching and just hanging on every pitch. This is what's great. It's like it's nerve wracking and it'll give you a heart attack almost at times. But at the same time, it's just awesome. So, well, thank you as always.
Yeah. Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Cool. Well, we'll see you all next week. Thank you as always for listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing. Behind the Braves, presented by Jostens, wherever you get your podcasts. For Greg McMichael, I'm Ricky Mast. We'll see you next week.